Bezras Hashem Yisbarech, our halacha topic from the daily daf of Daf Lamed Beis and Daf Lamed Gimel can be introduced with a fascinating phenomenon that captured media interest and is a contemporary issue in Hilchos Pesach today with different traditions and different approaches. And that is a story that was run a month or two ago about the Satmar Rebbe and many, many Satmar Hasidim going to one of the southern states. If I recall correctly, it was somewhere around Texas, or it might have been New Mexico, but I'm not sure. The story you could find in the Jewish Week from either a month or two ago, May or June of 2013. They descended upon one of the farming communities in southern America, which is an area which is extremely hot and extremely dry to cut wheat for matzah. After a tremendous amount of research, the Hasidim, who were experts in it, found that this is one of the driest and hottest areas in the United States and possibly in the world as well. Why is it necessary to make sure to cut wheat from an area that's so hot and so dry? The answer appears from Daf Lamed Beis and Daf Lamed Gimel. The question becomes how far one has to be machmir on it, but it is a beferish of Gemara. The Gemara on Lamed Beis Amid Aleph, as well as it repeats it on Lamed Gimel Amid Aleph, differentiates between whether one separates truma and then the truma becomes chametz. So then there are some opinions who say that if you eat that truma, you'll have to pay. For those who recall the Shakel of Atarya, one explanation is it is that even though it doesn't have any value, chametz has no value on Pesach, nevertheless, Hefsid Truma is evaluated according to some Amoraim and Tanoim based on the Mida and not on the Damim. And the Gemara says, but in Hilchos Truma, if you separate Truma that had already become Chametz, so then in such a case, according to everyone, one does not pay. The Gemara on the bottom of Lamed Gimel Amid Aleph says, what would the case be where it was Chametz before you took off Truma? Kegoin, 5 lines from the bottom of Lamed Gimel Amid Aleph, de ichmitz b'mechuber. It became chametz when it was attached to the ground. Asks the Chai Adam, in an area that's quite far apart, both geographically as well as, one could even argue, hashkafically, from Vilna. Vilna is quite far away from Satmar, but the Chai Adam in Klal Chaf Ches, Siv Beis, and it's quoted in the Mishnah Berurah in Siv Katan Yud Zayin. I am not around my Sfarim, so I'm once again indebted to fantastic Marim Mekomos from the Masifta Gemaras. The Chai Adam asks, at the end of the day, this is still wheat that's attached to the ground. Can that become chametz? And the answer to the question, says the Chai Adam, is yes. If it's attached to the ground, then it can become chametz. That a person has to be careful that if the wheat has entirely become ripe, then it's possible for it to contract chimutz even when it's attached to the ground. And if we think about it, it's a beferish gemara. This is pointed out by the Rajba in Chelek Zayin Simen Chaf, where the Rajba is asked, how could something that's mechuber become chametz? How would you explain our Gemara? Because at the end of the day, if that would be so, then wheat could never be used for matzah. And then you would never have matzah. Because how do you know that the wheat has not become chametz? Answers the Rajba the distinction that the Chai Adam had mentioned. And he says, it depends on whether the wheat has become ripened or not. If the wheat has already become ripened, then it is possible for it to come to the state of chimutz. Hence, for some, it's become an art to look for places where there is a lot of heat, there's not a lot of moisture, so as to make the most mehudar types of matzah. This can be found in the Tshuva's Divrei Chaim, and this is an important marimakum, because the Divrei Chaim is the forefather of not only the Hasidus of Sanz and Klausenberg, but as well, I was just Rav Hanan Bina, see the breadth of Mishpachat Bina, that Rav Hanan Bina just took me to Rabbi Yoel of Satmar's Kever, and I looked at the Rebbe Rabbi Yoelish's Matzeva, and sure enough, they are descendants of the Divrei Chaim, and the Divrei Chaim writes, Shem lo yishamru al achitim, vo lo yishkichu l'ayinim yordu aleim gishamim, mizman shiyavshu ad shenikzru, ein lishtamish b'chitim halol l'matzah shmura. You should not use these wheat for matzah shmura. On the other hand, it's clear that there are many that weren't so machmir, particularly to relocate large groups of the Hasidim who are involved in cutting, and that also has halachos, how to cut it, and so on and so forth. Tremendous expense to move to a town where there's no kosher food, etc., etc., in order to find one of the driest and hottest areas to be able to cut wheat for the matzah. Although it might be a logical extension of the Divrei Chaim, which we will come back to in a moment, clearly there are many who never had this tradition. My family roots, we trace ourselves back to Rabbi Yitzchak Olavarka and ultimately Kotzk and Gur, and the Avnei Nezer has a tshuva in Or HaChaim in Simen Shin Pei Zayin Oizches, where he disagrees with the Divrei Chaim. The Avnei Nezer learns that the word Shmira Mishas Ktsira, it means Shmira from after the Ktsira. It's true. It could very well be that the Avnei Nezer would accept the Chai Odom's observation from our Gemara. It's a Rajba already. However, does one need to be Shomer for it? Does one need to guard to make sure that such a thing didn't happen, that there was no moisture that came to the stalk? Or, if you're aware that there was a rainfall, so then in such a case, those wheats that are already mevushal, you shouldn't cut. But that there should be an active requirement of shmira, that the Avnei Nezer says beferish is not required. He has nafkaminas and lamdus in other areas of halacha that he discussed with his father. This tshuva is to his father. Then there isn't a requirement for a person to be osek in shmira until after the wheat is cut. I am not holding in the sugya on many, many different levels, both in terms of the practicalities as well as the iyun. I'm coming as a fellow dafyomi learner and discussing it together with my dear Talmidim. But what is clear to me is that 2 points. Number one is that the position of the Divrei Chaim brings to the Chumrah that has captured the media interest, the fascinating phenomenon of seeing bearded Hasidim in Peis and their bekishes in 100-degree dry sunlight in the middle of Southern America, involved in the ancient ritual of Ktsira for matzah. Clearly that is where it stems from. Clearly the Avnei Nezer, this is why I never heard of this in my family and many others, not goes that far. And I'd like to make one more halacha observation when opening up the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef in Simen Tov Samach Zayin, who is really the source of the Chochmas Adam and really made our Gemara, if you will, famous, based on the Rajman Chelik Zayin Simen Chof, which is quoted in the Beis Yosef, in Simen Tov Samach Zayin Sifhei, might not be as stringent as A, the Divrei Chaim had understood it, and B, even according to the Divrei Chaim, it could very well be that there is a simpler solution than the dramatic one that captured the media interest. Let's hear the Lashon of the Beis Yosef. Kasev al b'tshuva. Da'adar minim aperakol sha'heichi dami, kigoyin de'ichmitz b'mechubar, bishenis bashel ligamri b'mechubar. If it's entirely cooked, if it's mevushal ligamri, if the wheat stalk is entirely ripe, and we're going to make a big deal about the word legamri when it's still attached, ve'eino tzricha klal yanika, and it does not need any more water for sprouting. And we know for sure it's not going to sprout anymore. V'cholshen is yabesh legamri, as well as the fact that it's become entirely dry, b'mechubar. Then the Rajba said, based on our Gemara, keman demancha b'kada damya, it's considered as if it was already cut off and placed in a jar. U'mikabelas chimutz im yardu aleh kishamin. And then it will attract chimutz if rain has fallen on it. Number one, the Rajba is quoted as saying that it's nizbashel ligamri. It's an entirely ripe, and he expressly writes that if the wheat would grow more with more rain, then it's not considered entirely ripe. Ve'eino tzricha klal liyinika. That's A. it has to be a wheat stalk that won't grow anymore. B is it has to be misyabesh legamri. The wheat has to be entirely dry, that its moisture is already gone. That's what our Gemara is talking about. We're talking about an overripe wheat stalk. The svara before we apply it, halacha lemaisa, might very well be similar, and the Divrei Chaim quotes this shita in Beis Yosef as well, in Simin Tov Samach Zayin, a little bit further on, in the name of Rabbeinu Yoel. The Rabbeinu Yoel was even makel when wheat was already cut off. This people will not be makel in today, but Rabbeinu Yoel says that if wheat was already cut off and it came on a boat, but the water that it came in contact with, there was water in the boat was leaking. As long as the water doesn't collect in that area, says Rabbeinu Yonah, it's mutter. And he says the same thing applies to all wheat, because he says, how would all wheat be permissible? Doesn't rainwater fall on wheat? And he writes the following. As long as the water goes into the ground, so then in such a case, Chazal must never have assumed that it will make the wheat chametz, because the water is still involved, A, in being absorbed in the ground, or B, even better, as long as the wheat is still growing, then the water is involved in making the wheat grow into a larger stalk. And this point is made even by the Divrei Chaim himself. If you look up the Divrei Chaim says, Elavadai derech gedilason einoi mechametz. Anytime it's derech gedilason, it's not mechametz. Vare kol atvua shi parabami mashi hichmitz hagarin ba'aretz. The entire growth of the tvua is when it literally ferments in the ground. Umize gidel hatvia. Zehu koach hagidel velo machmatz hachita hagidela. K'moy ken kol derech gidula hamayim oseh pe'ulas gidula tvua lo chimutz. It's not considered chimutz, even if there's an area around it that undergoes the process of chimutz. And the only time the Divrei Chaim was machmir is a case in which it had entirely become dry. And therefore, it seems to me that even according to the Divrei Chaim, one would argue that there should be a simple solution. And that is that as long as the tvua is still in the process of growing, we don't view the water that comes in contact with it as being mechametzit, as causing it to ferment. We view the water as being part of the going process. And even if one does not follow the leniencies in the Beis Yosef, that as long as the water has not collected on the chametz, the wheat, even if it's no longer attached to the ground, and even if it's already ripe, there might be room to be makel. However, to be so machmir that when it's attached, and it's not clear that it's nisyabesh legamri, that it's entirely dry and it's entirely ripe, there would be room to be makel, even according to Divrei Chaim, l'chura, the best eitzah would be to cut the wheat off before it's become entirely dry, and then be yotze all the shitos, and be careful about the logical conclusion of our Gemara, that there are times, as in the words of the Rajba, that when it's attached to the ground, it's considered, if it's cut from the ground, there will be a requirement of Shmira Mishas Ktsira from that moment. This Beis Hashem concludes the halacha topic from Daf Lamed Beis and Daf Lamed Gimel.